Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, my guest is Eric Larkin, who is a real estate agent in Florida. We're going to talk about how he uses Instagram and YouTube to find local customers. Now, Eric's a real estate agent, so if you're not a real estate agent, don't think that you can't get anything out of this particular episode. You will get a ton of stuff. Eric's very good at showcasing what he does and where he does it via Instagram, but also has a strategy for YouTube that we talk about that I think no matter what business you're in, as long as you're a local business, you can kind of take what Eric does and transform that into your own way of showing your area, what you do, and how you do it using social media. That's what this podcast is all about. Super excited to share it with you. If you haven't yet, go follow me on Instagram. I am at The Bruce Irving. Check out our mastermind group and all the show notes. The mastermind group is over at thebruceirving.com/mastermind if you want to join in that. Monthly calls, get to hang out with us, talk marketing, talk to other entrepreneurs, figure out what's working and what's not. Again, that's thebruceirving.com/mastermind and thebruceirving over on Instagram. Say hello to me there. And if you're on Clubhouse, actually, you're going to be doing some cool rooms over on Clubhouse too. So if you are on Clubhouse, shoot me a message on Instagram. Let me know you're on Clubhouse. I'll give you a follow. Maybe we could do some rooms together because there's a whole bunch of conversations happening on Clubhouse that I pop in and out of. But let's get into today's episode with Eric Larkin from Cocoa Beach. All right, welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I have my friend Eric joining me on the podcast, who I've known through social media for a while. He's known as the Cocoa Beach Insider on Instagram. Eric, thank you so much for taking the time out and joining me here on the podcast today.
I really appreciate the invite, Bruce. This is great actually seeing you face to face. I've been listening to your podcast for a while. And of course, Instagram, we've been connected through there for a couple of years now.
Yeah, I think I found you. You were doing either an interview, like somebody interviewed you, or you were on a panel talking about Snapchat. That was probably like 3 or 4 years ago. And I think that's how I first discovered you and what you're doing with your real estate company and how you market your business. And I thought, you know, that's super fascinating. And ever since then, we've kind of been online friends. But this is the first time we've actually had a chance to talk in person. Well, kind of in person.
Yeah. We've done stories back and forth, or the Instagram messaging, whatever they call that part of the platform. but it's cool to have a conversation with folks that we've met through our phones.
Yeah, for sure. So tell everybody, introduce yourself. I gave you like a little introduction, Cocoa Beach Insider. You're a real estate agent in Cocoa Beach area in Florida. But you know, tell everybody about your business, how you got started, like what you do.
All right. So I'm a residential real estate agent here in Cocoa Beach, which is also known as the Space Coast. If you see a rocket launch, like back in the day, it was the shuttles, and now SpaceX is doing a lot of launches from here. That's my backyard. If you've ever been on a cruise from Florida, Port Canaveral's right here in the area, and we're about an hour away from Disney. So I service, you know, buyers and sellers anywhere in Brevard County and can help with people getting connected throughout the state if they're not moving into this particular area.
Now, I follow you on Instagram. And again, on Instagram, you are the Cocoa Beach Insider. And I have to say, I live in Boston, which is a nice city to live in, you know, 3 or 4 months out of the year. But the rest of the year, I'm very jealous of your Instagram stories and what you do, because you're always, you know, you do a great job of kind of showcasing what it's like to live in your area. The beach, the SpaceX shuttles taking off, you know, restaurants, local happenings, and local areas. I love that. But I have to say, it does make me jealous as somebody who doesn't live in such a nice area, watching your stories on Instagram.
And that's part of the hook. You know, I try not to be salesy in a sense on what I'm doing on Instagram or any of the social medias. I like to introduce you to things I like to do and also what it would be like living in Cocoa Beach or in Brevard County. Just to, you know, there's a lot of people moving here because of the space program, or L3Harris is another big corporation here. So there's a lot of folks that are moving here. Plus with what's happened with COVID, there's a heck of a lot more people wanting to move out of their area and get to somewhere nice and warm, as opposed to dealing with snow all the time, because they can, you know, you can work remotely for the most part on a lot of businesses.
Yeah, if you're not, you're listening to the podcast, but that's me raising my hand right now because you just described me.
Oh, perfect.
During COVID wants to get out of the snowy area. Cause like, you know, my wife is a real estate agent. You know her, you guys talk back and forth as well. She's up here in Boston. And I work remotely doing these interviews. As long as I have a strong Wi-Fi connection, I can kind of do these from anywhere. So with 2020 being what it was, and as my kids get older, I am looking to kind of see if there's a different place where I can go. And I like the way you run your Instagram, and you treat every platform differently, and we'll get into that. But I like how you run your Instagram, whereas I can watch your Instagram and be entertained or learn something about your area without you selling me something, right? Like, it's not always you with your open houses. You do throw that in there, but it's not every single post or every single story. So I don't be like, oh man, Eric selling something again. You know, I get to see, all right, Eric's in Florida. What's the weather like there today? What does the beach look like there today? Where is he going today? I enjoy that. So I think you do a good job of that.
Thank you very much.
And obviously that's something that you've thought out, right? Because you've been doing it for so long. Is that, and I think the question that I get the most is people say to themselves like, oh, I don't know what to come up with for ideas to show on stories. And, or I showed that already. I don't want to keep repeating the same things. Like, what goes into your thought process when you wake up in the morning and you're like going to show people around your area?
All right. Well, one of the things I like to do with Instagram, since we're talking about that one, is give people, if I talk about things that I know to what I know, what I like to do and that type of thing, I've got a good passion about it, which is the beaches, which is the sunrise, which is running or kayaking and the space launches. And since I have a passion for that, it's pretty, pretty sincere what I'm posting out there. And people who are also liking those things are kind of attracted to me too. So it's getting people into my sphere or connections, and they like those things as well. And it attracts them to me. And if they happen to want, you know, they discover I'm a real estate agent and they're either moving to the area or they have friends that are moving into the area, or they just have real estate questions in general, I'll give them good, honest opinions. And they already know, like, and trust me based upon the stories and the videos and the other posts that I'm doing too.
Yeah. So you're sharing things that you're interested in, which then attracts people who are interested in those same things. That can, like I said, I can wake up in the morning or whatever time of day and I hop on Instagram, I can watch your stories and there's a connection there because I kind of like the same things too, right? I like the beach. My wife's really into SpaceX and the space station there in real estate. So I can watch your stories and it's always kind of like Eric's top of mind. And if I ever did want to move down there, you're the first person I'm going to contact.
Cool. And really what my aha was at, what really made it click, especially about the beach and the sunrises that we're doing, we lived all the way on the mainland, which is like 15 minutes from the beach. But when we first moved back to Cape Canaveral 7 or 8 years ago, I walked my dogs to the beach and took a couple pictures of the sunrise and didn't think anything of it, posted it on Facebook and probably on Instagram. And then a couple days later, or a week or two later, I did the same thing. And I got a message from a girl I went to school with saying, thanks, Eric. I really needed that taste of Cocoa Beach. I appreciate the sunrise. Please keep it coming. So that led to a couple more days of doing that. I got a couple other messages from guys I went to school with, same basic thing. And I'm like, I'm probably onto something here. Yeah. I'm already at the beach anyway, doing my routine. I just started taking pictures and adding video and just showcasing my life and what I do around here.
I love it. And how long have you been like really focusing on that?
Well, I'd say 7 or 8 years ago is when I really started doing that more than anything. And that was the aha, because I'd go to a real estate event. And people would start commenting, I love your beach pictures.
Yeah.
Or there'd be like in Cocoa Beach, every Thanksgiving, they have an art show and they shut down the street. It's a big street party. It wasn't last year, but hopefully it'll be coming back again. And it's almost like a high school reunion. It's a small town, but people come back into town to visit their folks or to come to Cocoa Beach for their Thanksgiving weekend. And half the time people would just, you know, they'd point at me, I love the pictures. I love the sunrises. Keep them coming. So it kind of became my thing, even though I wasn't planning on doing it. I realized that people liked it. I enjoyed doing it and I just kept doing more of it. And then I started incorporating hobbies and things that I like doing too. And it just kind of grew from that.
Yeah. Is there anybody else in your area, like any other realtors doing what you do or taking to social media like you do?
We've got some great people in the area that are doing social media and they're doing their own thing. Kelsey lives in Palm Bay and she has chickens in her house. Well, not in her house, but at her house, she's got chickens and some turkeys and other things like that. So she's posting the egg pictures and other things along there. So that's kind of her click plus, her other personal things that she likes doing. So it's happening. Most definitely. Of course, I think I'm pretty unique and the best at it, but you know, that's the ego thing going there.
Right. Well, you're a pretty early adapter too. You know, 7 or 8 years ago in social media terms is like 100 years when it comes to regular marketing, because so many things have changed or happened or new platforms come along in the last 7 years that you have to constantly kind of be adapting. And like I said in the beginning, you know, I think we originally started following each other on Snapchat 4 years ago. And I'm not sure if you're super into Snapchat now, but I don't use it at all, really.
I think I have the app on my phone, but I don't necessarily open it up. I will do Instagram stories a lot, kind of dabbling with TikTok, learning that, and kind of, you know, it's more entertainment for me than anything.
Right.
But I'm seeing some things that are trending on there that other realtors are doing outside the area that I'm starting to adapt, and it's kind of cool.
I'd say realtors are kind of like restaurant owners. So I do another podcast called Smart Pizza Marketing, which focuses more on pizza restaurants and restaurants in general. And I've always said on that podcast, restaurant owners are very much late to the game when it comes to marketing. And I feel like realtors have been for the most part as well, except for lately, you know, with Clubhouse and YouTube and Instagram. I feel like realtors are starting to come around to marketing with social media and really leveraging the platform for what it could help with their business more now than they ever have in the past. Do you notice it too?
100%. Yeah, I agree with that. I'm an Android user, so I don't know Clubhouse yet. It's not available to us, but I hear it's a pretty awesome app. But I'm definitely seeing a big surge in YouTube with agents that are using that. There's Karen Carr's a realtor in Savannah, and she has a book called YouTube for Real Estate Agents. And it just teaches a good blueprint of what you can do to promote yourself on YouTube. And her Facebook group is growing from folks like me that are following her system, and the system really works.
Yeah.
So I see a lot of people getting on YouTube because of that.
I'm going to touch on YouTube in a second, but I just want to touch on Clubhouse since you mentioned it. I think real estate agents on Clubhouse could do really well. Don't think I've been on Clubhouse since December. Mm-hmm. I don't think that, you know, restaurant owners, it seems to be more for the restaurant industry, more marketers that market for restaurants than actual restaurant owners, which could be a learning point for some, but there seems to be a big real estate agent network on Clubhouse as of right now.
I'm seeing it on Facebook groups, but I haven't been able to sample it to see if it's something I want to do or not. As soon as it's released to Android, I'm sure I'm going to dig into it.
Yeah, I think they said a couple of weeks. Do you have an iPad?
No.
Oh, I was going to say.
The only thing I have that's Apple is I've got a shuffle like clip on the back of my shirt when I run, so I have music when I'm out running.
Yeah. I think that they said in Clubhouse a couple more weeks for Android to be released, and then we'll see what happens. But it's a time suck for sure kind of app. Like it's very much in the moment where you'd spend a lot of time on there. So be careful when you do get on there. You're going to feel like hours goes by.
I'll set an alarm.
Yeah, there you go. But I do want to get into your YouTube. We were talking about before the podcast started that I was watching. So my wife and I live in Boston. We are looking to kind of maybe either relocate for part of the year or all of the year. And we were looking to go to Florida, and I happened to catch one of your videos about the Viera area in Florida. And it was a really great educational video for you to kind of see, all right, where are the places to live? Like, what are the different aspects of the places? What restaurants? What the school system? I thought it was a really great video. How long have you been on YouTube, or like really diving into YouTube to kind of sell your area?
I've had a YouTube channel for over 10 years, but I started getting really serious about what to do or getting better at the content I put out there, I'd say last January. I discovered Karen, I'd mentioned just a little while ago, October, November 2019. I read her book, did some study and made some notes. And then January of last year, is when I really dug into her system. And it's really had an impact in regards to the views and people discovering my material. And then more importantly, or just as important, I'm getting phone calls, texts, and messages almost every day of people wanting to move into the area. If they like what you're putting out there, they binge watch. So yeah. I have people that say they've seen all my videos. I'll hear them reference like certain things I've said about in Cocoa Beach. There's an area called the Bermuda Triangle on one of the Facebook groups. So there's 40 bars and restaurants in this little 4-block area. And that, you know, I want to go to the Bermuda Triangle. So unless you either in the private Facebook groups for Cocoa Beach, or you heard my video, you're probably not going to hear it anywhere. Ah. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And I binge watched a couple of your videos too, cause I watched the one above Viera area. And then like the next video that popped up as a suggestion was like the 10 pros and cons about living in Florida or moving to Florida. I'm like, I gotta watch that one now. It's the next one. It's like, it caught my attention.
Awesome. Thank you.
And it's a different way, right? Like you can sell more on YouTube. It's not like you're selling, you're sharing information, which is what you should do. You're not hard pitching anybody. You're giving people valuable information because they've searched out that. So it's a different strategy than you are using on Instagram. Am I correct?
Correct. Yeah. Because with everything I'm putting on YouTube now, like I'll have an idea. Like I'm trying to do each city. So I've done Cocoa Beach, Cape Canaveral. I've done Merritt Island. I'm working on Vieira right now. I'll go to Google and I'll research what people are searching. I put on my Chrome browser, there's an add-on called Keywords Everywhere. Yep. For like $10, you can get 100,000 searches, and you'll type in your either the word or phrase, and it'll tell you how often it comes up in 30 days. So there's a certain range of searches. I don't want something that's searched by hundreds of thousands of people, because then I won't be seen on a search. So I'll find the keywords that are a smaller search term, but more than 150 or 200 a month, so that then there's a better possibility of me popping in there. And that keyword will be the title of the video. So when I record it and edit it on the computer, I'll name it that keyword. That'll be the name of the video on YouTube, and it'll be the first sentence in the description as well. So those three things help with the SEO of that particular video. And then the topics, the things that I talk about, again, I do the SEO research to see how it's showing up on Keywords Everywhere, and that's how I dive into the video topics.
How long does it take you from idea or search start to actual completion of the video?
It varies, because my wife and I will brainstorm and we'll write down a bunch of ideas, and I'll do a little research, and then I'll figure out what I want to say. So my morning runs are when I sort a lot of things out in my head. So it could be 2 weeks from beginning to end on when an idea pops in until it goes through production and gets uploaded. Or it could be a lot longer. I've had a couple of them that we've been bouncing around for the last 2 or 3 months, and it's just a matter of me getting the time to do the research, bullet point it out, and then get ready to shoot.
So the ones that take longer, it's just, are you not quite sure what or how you want the video to come out looking, or is it that you're not sure of the content, or just takes you longer to record the content?
It all the above. So it's like figuring out how I want to say it, how I want to present it. And then I'll do the research to see if that's how the keywords are coming up. Once I have a bullet point basis of what it is, I'll actually write it out as a blog post first. So my blog and my YouTubes, they usually hit the same day, and it's the same topic, similar keywords, and then they both bring in their own traffic. And then once I write out the blog, I'll get the bullet points for that, tape it on my tripod, let it rip in regards to how I want doing the video. And then the editing of from beginning to the end of just the videos, I can do relatively quick. What takes time is the B-roll I put over it to keep people's interest. So all the graphics that I put up there, the maps or pictures of the communities or the zoos or wherever it might be that I'm talking about, that takes a lot of time to get that B-roll or to find it somewhere online, because I store a lot of all my photos are backed up to Google Photos. And it's just a matter of searching either by location or something specific to see what pops up and what I can use.
How often are you publishing videos on YouTube? Do you have a schedule? I know we all have a schedule in here, but it's actually like sticking to it and making the production work. That's the hard part.
Ideally, I'd like to have one every week, but realistically it's 2 to 3 a month. Even though, like, the one thing that if you go for as a real estate agent, people tell us never do a market update as a video because nobody wants to watch it or anything like that. But I'm like, no, especially with what's happening the last 12 months in our real estate market, I need to get this information out. I track it anyway for my own personal use. Right. I started doing regular videos. So that's always one. If I get a new listing, like I just finished editing a new listing one, that's going to go up. And then there'll be another idea or topic, like the Vieira one. I had 4 videos in mind that I wanted to do, and now I've got 2 other ones that have kind of spun off from just ideas. So I'll put them out there. If I can do 3 a month, I'm extremely happy. 4 a month is incredible, but realistically 2 is like the minimum.
Yeah. What do you use to edit? You just use your computer and you're editing yourselves?
I edit them myself. I have a software called PowerDirector by CyberLinks. Okay. And that's what I happen to use. It came free when I bought my desktop like 10 years ago. It was the software that was on there. So I kind of got used to it. I went to a real estate or a video boot camp class, and they taught us the basics of editing. I think all of the editing software is about the same, with the layers of how you can put like the A roll, the B roll, the graphics and music and other things like that. It's just a matter of learning the language of the particular program that you might be using.
Yeah. I don't think like there's a ton of different softwares out there you can use for editing. And it's really, you're going to get used to one. And then no matter how many years go by, you're going to stick to that one because you're just so used to it. And hopefully they update it and it continues to get updated. But like for me, the podcast, I use Adobe and I've been using Adobe forever. And it's just like, I know that there's other podcast platforms and I know there's other people who could edit the podcast, but like, it's just what I got used to. And I'm so used to it and I can do it so quickly now that I'm not changing. Cause I don't want to have that learning curve of learning something new.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. I'll probably use PowerDirector forever.
Yeah. Cause you're just comfortable, right? It's just like, all right,
100%.
I know what to expect. I know how long it's going to take me. I don't want to learn something new. I love that. I love your YouTube. I think that there's not enough people leveraging YouTube because unlike social media, YouTube is something that stays up forever and people were probably going to find that Vieira Beach or Vieira video that you did a year or two from now, whereas they're never going to find your Instagram story of today's sunrise a year from now.
No, they won't. I mean, it'll pop up in my memories and that type of thing. And that's what I really like about the YouTube is it's searchable. People are, you know, when somebody's moving, they're going to go to Google and they're going to type in the city name or moving to this area. And if you tag your videos right, it'll pop up in that search. And the good thing about YouTube is you can change your tags. So if I did a video a year ago and it doesn't seem to be performing like I think it should, I'll go in there and research the tags to see if there's something new that's popped up that I could rearrange things, delete the ones that are dogs and not working, put it new out, and it'll help refresh it and get it going again. And that's the same with the thumbnail, because on YouTube, the thumbnail that you put on the video is super important too. So if you have, you could look at the analytics to see how many people are looking or searching for it, how many people are clicking because of the thumbnail. If you're not getting the clicks compared to other ones, swap out that thumbnail.
Yeah.
There's a product called TubeBuddy. Yeah. There's a free version that gives you some basic analytics, or you can pay for A/B testing. So you can do two different thumbnails with that and it'll swap them out and you can see which one's actually the better thumbnail if you want to go that route.
And you know, real estate is something that, you know, you can create a lot of videos because when people move, especially if they're moving to a different area, they're going to want to really search out that area. And if it's far, like it is for me from Boston, it's not like I can drive to your area every weekend and kind of go look around. I got to do a lot of research before I get there in order to find out what I'm going to be doing. But if you're not in real estate, there's another guy, Roger Wakefield, who's a plumber, right? So you never would think that a plumber would be able to leverage YouTube, but he has, I'm going to pull up his YouTube channel right now, but he has I think he hits 300,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Is he in Dallas?
Yes.
He's in Texas. Yeah.
And
you can learn a lot just by watching his videos on what you can do.
You exactly. Like he's a plumber. So you may not, 302,000 subscribers, 595 videos. He's been doing YouTube for 2 years. I've actually had him on the podcast here a couple of months ago or a year ago. He's one of the first.
That's probably where I heard about him was on your podcast.
Yeah, maybe. We talked about his YouTube strategy, but he's a plumber. So any local business who's listening to this right now can leverage YouTube and look at what you're doing and look at what Roger's doing and then incorporate those ideas into your business, right? Like take Eric's talking about the area. Why can't a local pizza shop or a local nail salon talk about the area as well, because then you'll just pop up when people search that area, and then if they need a nail salon, they go to you.
Boom. Right? Exactly.
And that's exactly what you're doing. What about Facebook? Let me get into, I know we talked about Instagram, we talked about YouTube. Are you still using Facebook, or how do you use Facebook nowadays?
Facebook, I do some things through there. Like whenever I get a YouTube or a blog post, it'll automatically go to my business page. I personally have a hard time understanding how to properly advertise and market with the, I don't even know the name of the back end of Facebook where you do your Facebook ads and that type of thing. Yeah. But it's very confusing. It's hard for me to understand. I will do some basic posts. I always have some type of ads running. But for me, the referrals or the leads I get through Facebook are very low end. It's hard for me to actually connect with them compared to what I'm getting from YouTube and the blog posts. People call me and they're happy to hear from me. And if I call them back, they like immediate, if they call me, get a voicemail, I call them back. They immediately pick up, or they'll call me as soon as I leave the voicemail apologizing that they didn't catch my call.
Right.
So that's the difference between what I'm getting from YouTube versus what I'm getting from Facebook.
So they know you, right? Like they watch you on video, like you said, they're binging a few videos. So like they know Eric. Whereas if they see an ad, they're like, oh, who's this Eric guy showing me an ad trying to sell me something?
And the thing with Facebook too, there's some bots out there that just might like the page, or they'll put some false information on there. And I'll call Tina. I'll just say her name was Tina about, she registered for an ad wanting to know about condos near the beach. I'm not Tina. Why do you keep calling me? Everybody's calling me Tina. I this isn't Tina's number. Never call me again. And I get a lot of that from the Facebook ads that I'm running. Maybe I'm not doing it right and I need to learn a little bit more about that. But for the Facebook ads, can't really say it's gotten me business except through the organic stuff that I'm doing on my personal page.
Yeah, I think Facebook versus Instagram or YouTube or any other social platform is more of a numbers game, right? Like you got to get a lot of leads. You got to get in front of a lot of people because the quality of those leads isn't as good for like a product like you're selling, like as a real estate agent, you know, maybe if you're selling a 2-for-1 dinner special or a $19.99 nail special or a haircut coupon, that may be better because they can target people in your area and it's very low barrier to entry. You know, the trust level doesn't have to be as high for a pizza as it does to sell my house.
That is true. But I do know a lot of agents that are successful with Facebook and they're good with the marketing programs and they have a good system set up for their business through that platform. I've been hitting this.
Yeah.
I like the other platforms a lot more for marketing and advertising.
And that's what I always say to people, right? Like you're probably just more comfortable with YouTube and blog posts and Instagram. So if you're comfortable with it, you're going to be natural and it's going to come across that way versus trying too hard.
100%.
You know, and that's probably why it's working for you because you do come across as like, I like these. I enjoy doing what I'm doing on these platforms and people notice that.
It's true. Yeah. Cause it comes through one way or another, you know, either how much you like it, or if you're apprehensive, you're a little, you know, rigid on how you're talking, sound like a robot.
Right.
It's not going to be as successful.
What do you use to record your videos? Do you just use your iPhone or you're not, I know you're not actually not an iPhone, an Android.
S10. I have a Galaxy S10 or whatever phone I have is what I've been doing all my videos with. Probably going to dabble with the GoPros. Yeah. Like I'm looking at the GoPro 9, the Hero, to start working with that because it's got the stabilization built in. It's got the big wide angle, so it captures a lot of things. So I can do more clips around town. Like I'm hoping it's easier to use. It's got the water resistance. So that'll be in portfolio. I'll be getting one of those here soon so I can learn it and then start utilizing it for future videos.
So you don't like technology wise, you're just using a phone and your computer to edit. So you're not like, you don't have a huge setup. So anybody who's says they can't do it, everybody has a phone that's got a nice video quality on it.
These things are awesome. Get your phone, whether it's an Android or an Apple or whatever one you're using. If it was made in the last 2 or 3 years, you have an incredible camera that's for pictures and for video. Just start with that. And then if you want to add the equipment, you could always add the equipment, but start with what you have to get used to it. And then you could add on from there if you choose to. But I like using my phone.
The only problem I have with using a phone, but I found this little adapter and so sometimes I carry a camera, a regular DSLR camera where I record some stuff. And then your phone can really do a great job editing, but there's this adapter that you can plug into your phone now that puts your videos onto a memory card. And then that memory card can go into your computer. So it's easy because sometimes I found that if I had really long videos on my phone, it would take forever to transfer to the computer. With this, you just plug a little adapter into your phone, export whatever videos you want onto the memory card, and then that memory card can just go into your computer, it can go into your camera. It's just so much easier to edit from that perspective. Well,
most of my videos, though, are short clips. It goes back to Snapchat. You know, Snapchat is how I really learned the art of talking to my phone, the right angles and projecting my voice, that type of thing. But everything on Snapchat is 10 or 15 seconds. So really the videos that I'm doing they're 30 to 45 second clips. So it's just boom, you know, a lot of little clips that I piece together.
So there you go. So you don't have to worry about transfer because they're short clips.
Yeah. But there's still a lot of them, you know, to do a 10 minute video, you got a lot of little clips. Yeah. But they still get transferred in there and uploaded in. I'm happy. You know, I got the system that works for me.
Yeah. And you got to do it, right? Like you can read a blog post or watch a video or listen to a podcast about how to do video, but the only real way to get good at it or do it or get better at it is to do it.
That's right. How did you learn to drive? You got behind the wheel of the car.
Yeah, right.
Same thing with the video.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like you said, once you, and you get better at driving, the more you do it. So the more videos you do, the better you're going to get at it. The more videos you do, you're going to be able to recall what scenes worked really well in the video and what you're looking for more, the more you get, right? And like, you'll be able to put those videos together better.
Most definitely. And the thing is practice too, because I know we've mentioned Snapchat a few times, but you've got Instagram stories or Facebook stories. Yeah. If you get in the habit of doing those every day, just a couple of them, you'll learn how the camera works. You'll learn how you sound. You'll learn how you look. And you also get your eye of what you need to capture, like going out and what's in front of you. You'll get better at doing all that as well. And the thing with the stories, they're gone in 24 hours. So go for it.
Right.
Just start capturing what you're doing day to day. The behind the scene things for what you're doing at work are always interesting to people, or just give them a peek, like my morning sunrises. You know, this is what's happening on the beach this morning. People really enjoy that.
Yeah. Do you do anything on LinkedIn?
I do more. I'm getting more on LinkedIn, and LinkedIn is very powerful now with the changes since Microsoft bought it 3 or 4 years ago. They've really changed the platform a lot. It's not as spammy as it used to be. I'm following a lot of local businesses and business leaders here, plus the space industry. So I'm following, you know, SpaceX and Blue Origin and Firefly and all those companies that are coming to the area. I do a lot of reading, liking, and commenting more than I do on posting, which is just as powerful on LinkedIn is making comments as opposed to doing your own posts. But I will upload, like when I have a blog post, it goes there. If I have a video, it goes there. And I haven't really done the LinkedIn stories part of it yet. Haven't dabbled with that. No. But LinkedIn, especially in real estate, it's a good platform to get a part of, to at least like and comment. You know, start commenting, because your comment, if I comment on a post and somebody opens up LinkedIn and we're connected, it'll show that Eric commented on this post. Right. And then you can go see what Eric commented on if you are interested in anything Eric might be talking about or that particular topic.
Yeah, I like that. That's exactly right. Like, you don't have to create content to be on LinkedIn. You can just engage.
Definitely. What? And there needs to be more engaging on all the platforms anyway.
Yeah.
But right. With LinkedIn, it's really powerful to comment more than post.
Right. Because like when
you do post, it'll pop up.
Yes. Like LinkedIn is like if we're friends, like you said, and you comment on something, I'm going to see it. Whereas on Instagram, I wouldn't see that.
Correct. And if you comment, like if you spend the next week commenting on LinkedIn, and then you do your own post, it's going to get more traction because the algorithm likes what you're doing. It's showing that you're participating and being a good LinkedIn steward to other folks. And then when you put your post out there, it should get more traction.
Yeah. So for you, what percentage of business do you see you get from these social platforms and all of the content that you're creating? Like, is it the majority of your business, or is it still a lot of referrals like it usually is in real estate?
Most of my business comes from referrals. I've been in a BNI chapter for the last 10 years, and that's a big part of my business. Either getting referrals from that BNI is called Business Networking International. Okay. And they're throughout the country. Here in Brevard County, there's 6 or 7 chapters. My chapter is the Beeliners. We meet every Wednesday morning now via Zoom, but it used to be a face-to-face thing. And it's unique. I'm the residential real estate agent. There's a property manager. There's a moving company. There's 41 professions in there. And our goal is to find referrals for the other members that are in there.
Oh, interesting.
So if I do, my home inspector is in there, my termite guy's in there, electrician, et cetera. So if we have a home inspection and the roof has issues, I got a roofer on speed dial. And he'll come out here and, you know, get us an estimate pretty quick or let us know what the repairs are.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. For a restaurant, I don't know how good it might be for that. But if you're in some type of trades business or sales like I am, BNI is something that you should definitely be looking into because it's a good source for business.
Oh, interesting. And what about, I know referrals are something that happen once you build a relationship with the customer, but that customer has to initially find you somewhere, right? Too. So it's either through a friend or through one of these platforms. Like what would you say percentage wise? Obviously it's worth it because you continue to do it. So it's gotta be worth it for you to put the time in.
Yeah. Yeah, I joined BNI for taking care of my customers more than anything, so I could have the relationships with the trades that go with the house.
Right.
And then the cherry on top was I'm getting business from there, like the estate attorney. Somebody meets into, you know, their parents just passed away. He did the estate. We need to sell a house. That's an intro for Eric.
Right.
But then the percent of business that I get from the social media things, well, I know so far this year, I've got 3 closings from YouTube.
Wow.
So that's pretty good. And they're good price points compared to like my averages here, and the YouTube was a higher price point. So that's definitely a good thing.
Where are those people? People from like out of state that found you on YouTube, or were they people from your area who were looking to move?
They're all out of state.
So someone who didn't even live in Florida, never have known you otherwise.
Correct. They found me on YouTube. They binge watched a lot of the videos, and then they either messaged me or called me and said, "Hey, saw your videos. We're thinking of moving to Cocoa Beach. Can you help me?"
Amazing.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, right. That's great. And you just started. Yeah. January of 2020, you just started, right?
Yeah, I got serious about it then, with tweaked a new system. And since then, I've gotten a good, conservatively, 30 connections from there. And I've closed 3, and I've got a few more that are closing here in the very near future. And then I got a pipeline of people that over the next 6 months are becoming into the area and will eventually buy.
That's great. Hopefully. That's great. That's inspiring for people who are like, all right. Because it takes a while, like especially when you do any platform. In the beginning, it's going to be slow, and then a lot of people give up before that point comes when it's going to really start to click and start working. A lot of people just throw in the towel.
Yeah. I know a lot of agents that have tried YouTube or social media, and if they didn't get anything in 3 months, they're done. Yeah. And it's definitely a long game. And a lot of the relationships or people that find you on Instagram, Facebook, or any of the platforms, you might not know that they're following you. You know, I can do the Instagram stories. I don't know everybody that's looking at the Instagram stories of what I'm doing here in the area,
right.
But I could get a message for them, or they'll see the story and I got a link on Instagram that'll take you back to my website. They could have searching for properties there, and then they call me from there. I don't know that they started on Instagram or not, but
right.
It's a good connector. And then going back to where I said Thanksgiving weekend, we have the big art show here. As soon as people, the first thing out of their mouths are, "I love the sunrise pictures. I appreciate you. Keep them coming." And it's, you know, from me doing a daily habit of walking to the beach and watching the sunrise, I take a picture, and it's definitely a good habit for me to have gotten into. And it's been beneficial in regards to what it's done for me on the social media platforms and building relationships and that type of thing.
Yeah. Well, I love it. Keep doing those sunrise videos, because I appreciate them. That's for sure.
You bet.
Eric, if someone wants to reach out to you, where should they go? I know you're Cocoa Beach Insider on Instagram, but you have a website, or what's your preferred platform for people to communicate with you with?
I say whatever you're comfortable with, as I'm comfortable with as well. Cocoa Beach Insider is my Instagram. CocoaBeachInsider.com is my blog. Twitter is Eric_Larkin. Actually, if you find me on Instagram or the blog, which CocoaBeachInsider.com or Cocoa Beach Insider on Instagram, you can connect with me there, I think, are the two best things.
And we'll link all that up in the show notes too. So if you're driving or you're working out or wherever you listen to this podcast, we will link up Eric's social. You can go find him. You can go watch his YouTube videos, get some ideas, but reach out to him. He's very receptive. He'll answer all your questions. Great guy that I've known for quite a few years via social, and I'm very happy that we had the chance to talk. So don't hang up yet.
Yeah, this has been great.
But I appreciate you joining me on the podcast.
This has been fun. I appreciate it too. Thanks a lot, Bruce.
Thank you all so much for tuning into the podcast. Eric, thank you so much for joining me on the show. TheBruceIrving.com for all the show notes. You can find Eric's social over there, his Instagram, his YouTube channel. Say hello to him on Instagram too, and give him a follow, because if you're interested in seeing what it's like to live in the Cocoa Beach area of Florida, I suggest you give Eric a follow. You may not want to watch his stories though. Sorry, Eric, if you live in the Northeast like I do, from January to March, because you're going to get major FOMO. But he's a great follow on social media. Again, follow me on Instagram, TheBruceIrving on Instagram, and TheBruceIrving.com for all the show notes for this episode. And if you have an interesting story, or you know somebody that has an interesting story, shoot me a message. I want to do these podcasts with you, and I want to have conversations about cool things that are happening in the community, regardless of what business you're in. So shoot me a message on Instagram, and let's get the conversation headed over there. All right, guys, have a great week. We'll see you next time.